Book 1. When the first baby laughed for the first time, the laugh broke into a thousand pieces and they all went skipping about. And that was the beginning of fairies. Sir James Barry, Peter Pan. Book 1, Chapter 1. It was Graham Greene who said that a story has no beginning or end. The author simply chooses a moment, an arbitrary point, and looks either forward or back. That moment is now, an October morning, when the clang of a metallic letter flap heralds the first post. There is an envelope on the mat inside my front door. Inside is a small stiff rectangle of paper that says nothing and everything. Dear Ali, I'm in trouble. I must see you. Please come to the reunion. Love, Kate. 16 words, long enough to be a suicide note, short enough to end an affair. I don't know why Kate has written to me now. She hates me. She told me so the last time we spoke, 8 years ago. The past. Given long enough, I could tell you the month, the day and the hour, but these details are unimportant. All you need to know is the year. 1998. It should have been the summer we finished university, the summer we went backpacking across Europe, the summer I lost my virginity to Brian Rosconi instead of to Kate's father. Instead, it was the summer she went away and the summer I left home. A summer not big enough for everything that happened. Now she wants to see me again. Sometimes you know when a story begins. Book 1, Chapter 2. When the day comes that I am asked to recalibrate the calendar, I'm going to lop a week off January and February and add them to October, which deserves to be 40 days long, maybe more. I love this time of year. The tourists have long gone and the kids are back at school. The TV schedules aren't full of reruns and I can sleep under a duvet again. Mostly, I love the sparkle in the air, without the pollen from the plane trees, so that I can open my lungs and run freely. I run every morning, 3 circuits of Victoria Park in Bethnal Green, each one of them more than a mile. Right now, I'm just passing Durwood Street in Whitechapel, Jack the Ripper territory. I once took a Ripper walking tour, a pub crawl with ghost stories. The victim I remember best was his last one, Mary Kelly, who died on the same date as my birthday, November the 9th. People forget how small an area Jack roamed. Spitalfields, Shoreditch and Whitechapel cover less than a square mile, yet in 1888 more than 1 million people were crammed into the slums without decent water and sewerage. It is still overcrowded and poor, but that's only compared with places like Hampstead or Chiswick or Holland Park. Poverty is a relative state in a rich country where the wealthiest are the first to cry poor. It is 7 years since I last ran competitively, on a September night in Birmingham, under lights. I wanted to get to the Sydney Olympics, but only 2 of us were going to make it. 0.04 of a second separated first from fifth. 0.5 metre, a heartbeat. A broken heart. I don't run to win anymore. I run because I can and because I'm fast. Fast enough to blur at the edges. That's why I'm here now, flirting with the ground while perspiration leaks between my breasts, plastering my T-shirt to my stomach. When I run, my thoughts become clearer, or at least more concentrated. I think about work and imagine that today someone will call and offer me my old job back. A year ago, I helped solve a kidnapping and find a missing girl. One of the kidnappers dropped me onto a wall, crushing my spine. After 6 operations and 9 months of physiotherapy, I am fit again, with more steel in my spine than England's back 4. Unfortunately, nobody seems to know what to do with me at the Metropolitan Police. They think I am a wonky wheel on the machine. As I pass the playground, I notice a man sitting on a bench, reading a newspaper. There is no child on the climbing frame behind him, and other benches are in sunshine.